This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, good Thursday morning to you. Oh, if it's Thursday, it's Throwback Thursday. We got a pretty good festive one for you today. We're also going to talk about the Heisman Trophy because that's going to be awarded on Saturday night. And listen, I'm a Heisman Trophy guy. I have been since I was a very tiny kid who liked college football a lot. But what I see every single year with these college Heisman Trophy award ceremony shows, it's not necessarily the Heisman. They've done this before at like Walt Disney World and other places where this is big ceremony to celebrate the winners. It is going to be a large broadcast, but it's something that people, you know, the broadcasting companies feel like you really want. You want like a full hour of complete dissection of the guys that are up for the award. Now, we're going to give you kind of the thoughts of this award and this trophy and who should win it, and why maybe some others may disagree. But in the end, the Heisman Trophy still is one of the bigger trophies that we award in sports. We're also going to get into Aaron Rodgers because he was asked yesterday whether or not he regretted saying, "I own you," to a Bears fan the last time they played the Bears, which, and again, they'll be playing them this weekend at Lambeau Field. And it was funny because, and I've told you guys this many, many times, a lot of times reporters ask questions that they know the answer to, but they need that individual to say that answer. And so sometimes you get a lot of obvious questions, which is just nothing more than, can you just say this so I can have it in my story? And I think that was yesterday when they ask, do you regret saying what he, when was the last time Aaron Rodgers regretted really saying anything? He doesn't seem to be that kind of individual. I mean, think about his whole reaction to the Packers this offseason and what a mess this was. He's not sorry for any of that. He's not sorry for that sort of muckraking that was going on while they were sort of negotiating things and talking things out. He wasn't apologizing for that at all. He stood by what he believed. He got back with this team. They mended fences, and now they're one of the top teams in the NFL. No, Rodgers doesn't regret anything. And he's got very good reason to not regret at all what he said to the fan that was giving him the finger the last time these two teams played. The numbers speak for itself. We got that coming up as well. And we'll also be talking about Steph Curry and the fascination with him tracking down Ray Allen's three-point record. That's all coming up this hour, but coming up next, our Throwback Thursday. Happy holidays. You'll see next on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it's a little festive Throwback Thursday this morning on Wake Up Call because on this date in 1965, that music was on your television as you watched the Charlie Brown Christmas special. It is still somewhere out there today. I don't think it's on network TV anymore.
I think you're going to
go to like Apple Plus or whatever. Are they bringing it back?
I thought I heard that somewhere.
I got to follow this closer because I like the Halloween, Christmas specials, the Halloween specials, and Thanksgiving specials and all that. And I got to pay more attention to it. So Charlie Brown's Christmas, 1965. So I was telling you yesterday when we were talking about Throwback Thursday, I said Drew McGarry, the guy, he used to be a Deadspin. I think he's now a freelance, he's author, freelance columnist. Wrote a column back in 2010 about why Charlie Brown's Christmas was terrible. He said he watched it with his kid, and his kid was immediately depressed.
See, a Grinch? Come on.
He goes, why do we do this to our kids, give them these Charlie Brown shows? He goes, they're so sad. And you know what? There's a little bit I agree with him, but I don't hate this special. I think the special is great. Yeah. I think it's wonderful.
If you want to say that about the Thanksgiving one,
Thanksgiving
I'm with you.
One is a little too much. Yeah. But I think the Christmas special is pretty good. You know, like I know we talked about the Halloween special where I was like, that's ridiculous that the adults gave Charlie Brown rocks. But you can see kids.
They allowed a kid to hang out in a pumpkin patch all night long.
Just let him sleep. Like, the sister had to go find him, not because there's no parents in the Charlie Brown world. But The Charlie Brown's Christmas special is pretty sweet. I mean, he gets this yucky tree, and they dress it up, and Linus gives his speech from the Bible about the meaning of Christmas.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's not bad. Snoopy wins the decorating his house contest.
And of course he does.
That's right. So, yeah, Charlie Brown Christmas special. But, yeah, still going on to this day. What is the fascination with peanuts, though, with younger generation? Do they like Charlie Brown?
I don't know.
Or is that losing out?
Is it still a thing? Because, I mean, I know for us growing up, I mean, it was part of your Sunday comics.
Yeah, it was in the comics. It was in the comics page.
You know, so you could read like a little strip. And, I mean, and then the bonus was, oh, there's a cartoon version of it as well.
Yeah,
thank
exactly.
you.
And so, yeah, but I don't think this generation, I mean, look, we all, you know, like I did this with my kids. I sat them down and I was showing them all the claymation ones,
yes.
you know, and, oh, watch. And my kids were just like, hey, yeah, I guess this is cool. I guess. Like, and I'm like, no, it's awesome, isn't it? And they're like, oh, sure. I'll take your word for it.
Look how choppy the character movements are.
Exactly. My son's like, this doesn't even look good.
Yeah, it's like, hey, Dad, I could do the same thing with this with computers, and it's all smooth.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't get it.
You just have to move the pieces little by little to take a picture. Why? Because it was the only way to make this. Seems like a lot of work. Yeah, I know. Thanks, Rankin Bass.
Yes.
Well, you know,
I was about
well
to give them some love, too.
Exactly.
I don't think they're around anymore, but, you know, they still get some love.
Yeah. So, again, the Christmas special? Christmas special on this date in 1965. So we're going to play a lot of music from 1965. Real quick, before we move on, do you think we'll have any Beatles in 1965?
I don't know. Music? We'll have to see.
Because on this date, everyone woke up to the news, or didn't wake up to the news, but saw it in their paper that John Lennon had died the night before. Howard Cosell announcing it. This was on December 8th, so yesterday. Howard Cosell announcing that on Monday Night Football, John Lennon was shot. But this morning, back in 19...
unless you were watching Monday Night Football.
Yeah, then you woke up to the headlines that John Lennon was shot and killed outside of his apartment in New York City. So we got 1965 music on the show today. So as I said at the top of the hour, Aaron Rodgers was asked, do you regret saying I own you to the Chicago Bears fan? And of course, Aaron Rodgers said no, because Aaron Rodgers doesn't regret really much anything.
Anything.
I think he lives his life the way he lives it, and he says what he says, and I think he stands by it. And he's got that personality that says, look, I may not say the right things all the time, and I'm certainly not going to wallow in self-pity about it, right? But on this one, he stood firm. He said, I'm proud to be a part of this rivalry. The numbers speak for itself. He's played the Bears 27 times in his career. He's won 22 games against them. So you really can't argue with his statement that I still own you. He does. The Bears aren't even giving him a fight during his career with the Green Bay Packers. And they will likely win again this weekend. And Matt Nagy is likely to be fired because of it down the road. Right? I mean, that's just simple. He's owned that division. He's owned this team. And it's okay. And again, this goes back to what I've been saying all along this entire time, this offseason, about why people thought it was an absolute done deal that the Packers were going to trade him on draft night or right after draft night. And I thought it's crazy. Why, if you're the Packers, do you give up this Super Bowl ticket that is standing in front of you? You just deal with his grouchiness and you deal with him being a pain in your behind because he's going to lead you to a Super Bowl or very, very close to that. You don't trade him because he whines publicly. You keep him under contract and win the stupid Super Bowl. And you own your division like he tends to do. This is why I think when I look back on 2021, I think one of the greatest things the media fell for was this stupid idea that the Packers were going to trade him on draft day. That the Broncos were working on a deal, right? I mean, it was ridiculous. Because if you are the Green Bay Packers, there was zero reason to trade him. And look where they are right now. We are going back and forth as to whether or not it's Arizona or Green Bay as the best team in the NFL. And that's exactly what you get when you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback if you are the Packers. I mean, If you look at those numbers about what he's just done against Chicago in his career, and you multiply that, what he's done against Minnesota, what he's done against Detroit, and then you realize that you've had this dominating presence in this, which could be a very tough division at times. You have had a very strong presence in this division that has carried your team to excellence after the Brett Favre era. And Aaron Rodgers, again, this is one of the things that there's an appeal to this sort of moxie that he has as a quarterback. It can be a little bit narcissistic it feels. It can be a little bit sort of showboating a bit. But nevertheless, he backs this stuff up. And the thing is, Jimmy Graham of the Chicago Bears was asked about this, and he doesn't have any problem with it. Because this is just what players say. This is what players do. And to be honest with you, sometimes I wonder how many people on the Bears would say, you know, yeah. Like, especially veterans who have been on that team for a while, maybe a number of years, have sort of experienced it. Where they go, yeah, you know what? To be honest with you, we haven't done our job. So I'm not going to be upset that the quarterback of the team we're playing over there says they own us, because he has. And I've been here 5 years or 3 years or 6 years or whatever. And you know what? He's absolutely right. Right? It reminds me of that George Foreman line when he was fighting Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali said, is that all you got, George? And George said, yeah, pretty much. That's the way this is. This is, you have gone, every one of these divisional opponents has gone out there twice a year to try to beat this guy. And this guy continues to win, continues to put his team in the playoffs. And every now and then he just wants to remind the fan base about it. And we have to wonder if he's going to apologize for that or if he regrets saying that. He has every right to say that. And the Bears, as an organization, should say, you know what? We can't be offended by it because he's right, and we got to do a better job so he doesn't get to say that going forward. Maybe let's take control of this, and let's try to find a way or build a team that can beat him, especially later in his career. And until we do that, you know what? Let him say what he wants because it's true. He's 22-5 against us in his career. If that's not domination in a modern NFL, I don't know what is. This is not those like ridiculous stats you see in college football, game notes where they'll say like Alabama is 87-0-1 in their last 88 games against unranked opponents or something crazy like that, right? Where you go, yeah, like that makes total sense, right? This is the NFL. You don't dominate divisional teams like this for the most part, because divisional teams build themselves to beat you eventually, right? You used to see it all the time. This is one of the reasons why I've been on the show critical of Miami and the Jets and the Bills for all of those years the Patriots were dominant, because even though the Patriots could be dominant, it never looked like those other three teams really made a solid effort to build a team that could beat Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
Not at all.
Now, none really could, but there wasn't even an attempt. You see in these other divisions where teams go, you know what? I may need to draft a running back, but you know what bothers me? The fact that quarterback has all the time in the world. I got to get a pass rusher, because they draft sometimes based on who's in their division. And for the Chicago Bears, for example, to know that Brett Favre was there all those years and then Aaron Rodgers takes over, for them to not establish themselves in a way saying, you know what, we're going to find a way to beat that guy. We're going to put together a team. All right, we put together this really good defense. He still finds a way to beat us. Now we got to put together a good offense. We've got to find a quarterback. We've got to find a running back. We've got to find an offensive line. Whatever it is.
Well, I think that's the larger issue for the Bears is just the fact that they've never found a quarterback.
Right, never found a quarterback.
And that's kind of, you know, their history. And, you know, that's what's surprising. I mean, the Packers went from one Hall of Famer to another Hall of Famer. I'll take the Chargers. My Chargers, for example, look like they went from one Hall of Famer to another Hall of Famer to another Hall of Famer.
Right, sure.
And you mean during all that time, the Bears haven't been able to find one guy?
Absolutely. Again, how frustrating is that? And you're right. How frustrating is that to see it within your own division?
Over and over again.
And you saw
the Lions were able to grab a guy. The Vikings grabbed a couple of guys. The Bears, you know, I mean, what do we have? We had like Cade McNown, Rex Grossman. I mean, you know, just fill in the blank kind of guys.
Yeah, and I know I've said this before, but I remember that when the Houston Texans drafted, Mario Williams? It was because they were playing Peyton Manning in the division when he was with the Colts, right? It's like you have to build a team that is competitive. Win your division. Be competitive in your division and let the chips fall the way they are with your other, back then, 8 games, this time 9. You've got to play in your division and beat the teams that are and what their strength is. And the Bears haven't done it. So, again, I like, you know, hey, look, Jimmy Graham may not be a lifelong Bear. You know, he's bounced around a while. But nevertheless, I like that approach of, you know what? I'm not mad at him. He's right.
He's right. So we have to take care of ourselves first before we're critical or angry or bitter at somebody who's trash talking in a sport where you guys may not hear it, because that's what Graham was basically saying. You may not hear it all the time, but it goes on every play. Like, he's got, we're all doing it. We do it all the time. This is was just Aaron Rodgers to a fan that was flipping him off, and he has no reason to apologize. And again, this weekend, they're talking about, well, Justin Fields going to be okay, rib injury, is he good to go, all of that. Who cares? The Packers should beat them again. He should be 23-5 when in the 28th after the 28th meeting with the Bears during his career. And it shouldn't even be close based on everything we know about these two teams. But then again, it's been a wild NFL season.
It's been a strange one, yeah.
So it's a strange one. It's been crazy. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. All right, coming up. Are we overly fascinated with Steph Curry and his pursuit of Ray Allen's three-point record? What was the expectation really last night when Golden State played Portland? We'll get that next, and Wake Up Call continues.
The Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
1965 on this date, the Charlie Brown Christmas special. Was that on CBS, by the way? Did you?
Sure.
I think it was. Sure.
I think so.
Was it brought to you by York Peppermint Patty?
No, she was in the show.
She was in the show. That's great. Ah, Charles Schultz. God love him. Yeah. You know his first cartoon strip? Was just two kids sitting on a stoop, like just sitting on the curbside, and they go, "Here comes Charlie Brown, good old Charlie Brown. Yep, good old Charlie Brown." And as Charlie Brown leaves, the kid goes, "How I hate him." That was the comic. That was the entire. That was it. How? That's not funny.
I don't. I mean, what did Charlie do to the town?
I know.
To all
I
the
know.
Kids.
Everybody hated that kid. Everybody, adults. All the children, everything, everybody. Oh, I never understood it. Never got it. Just nuts. All right, we're going to talk about Steph Curry in just a bit. But if you have a car problem and don't know where to go, maybe you're on a road trip or your car breaks down, let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts shop referral program, you can take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Click find a repair shop to find a reputable repair facility or service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Yesterday, we were chatting with Lee Ellis of The Athletic, talking NBA, kind of getting caught up on what the league has been doing right now. And I know for a lot of you, you're busy with football and college football and whatnot and some of these other sports that are getting underway, NHL, NBA. If you're kind of a casual fan or maybe you're just a local fan of the team that you follow locally and you're not really ready to sort of expand that quite yet, you know, Golden State's been fantastic. Phoenix has been fantastic. But Steph Curry entering last night's game against Portland was at 16, needed 16 three-pointers to pass Ray Allen for the NBA record for most three-pointers made. So the national media, of course, got all, you know, excited at the possibility, now get this, of Curry doing two things, setting the NBA record for most threes in a game while passing Ray Allen for the most three-pointers all time in a career. He did not do that. He took 17 shots. Now, he needed to make 16. He made 6. So he's 9 to tie, 10 to pass in his next upcoming game, which will be against Philadelphia on Saturday. I thought about this in two ways. Let me put it in an NFL context for you. Let's say you had Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. Take your pick, either one, pick them in the head. And let's say going into a game, they needed 8 touchdown passes to pass some record, single season, career, whatever. It doesn't matter. But they were going into the game. No one has ever passed for 8 touchdown passes before. And imagine if the national media all day long leading up into that game kept telling you of the possibility that this could exist, that this could happen, that Brady could throw 8 touchdown passes and set the new record. set the single game record, as well as you probably would go two things. You'd probably say unlikely to happen. However, if there was one guy that could do it, it would be this guy. I think that's how many people felt about last night's potential for a 16-3-point game from Steph Curry. It is absolutely, if you were a betting person, you bet the under on that every time. If it was 16 as an over-under, you take the under going away. You mortgage your house on an under. It would have been extremely special if he had knocked down 16 three-pointers in a game. He would have done it on purpose, right, to knock down 16. Took 17 three-point attempts, but he's not expected to make 100% of those, or at least 95% of those, whatever the calculation is. But at the same time, you would say, but if there's a guy that can do it, it's probably this guy. It is scary where Golden State is right now. And just to take this 2-year break from losing the NBA Finals in 2019 to Toronto to where they're at now, they lose Kevin Durant. Klay Thompson's been out for a long time, right? They got James Wiseman in the draft, who hasn't really quite worked out yet, still hasn't got his sea legs going in the NBA. And yet Steph Curry has got this team tied with Phoenix for the best record in the NBA. I think they're ahead now by a half a game because of last night. But one of the best teams in the NBA right now, getting Klay Thompson back, it is thrown an already very difficult to navigate Western Conference even more difficult, because before the last 2 years, if you were trying to figure out your role as a team and how you fit in the hierarchy of the conference, Golden State wasn't really a team. If you were a decent team, like if you were Utah, Phoenix, Dallas, Memphis, right, Lakers, and you were trying to Clippers, do I just keep going? Why don't you just name them all? You were trying to figure out where are we in this conference. Golden State was all right, yeah, but we should be better than them. Well, now they're better than you, right? And they're just added on to a Western Conference that's going to be tough. Now, we like dynasties in this country until a point, and then we get sick of them. We like them a bit, and then we like to root against them. And Golden State had their moment in the sun. Right. And I know I've told you, like, my daughter's a huge Golden State fan. Has nothing to do with the fact that we live in Tennessee. It has everything to do with the fact that they're good, because she can't watch any of their games because they're 2 hours from us from tip off time. Right. And so she likes them because she likes Curry. She likes Golden State. Her friends like Golden State because it caught a generation. Curry and his style caught a generation. Right. It wasn't getting into the big man, you know, tough. Get the bucket in the line, you know, physical basketball. It was shooting threes, and everybody loves shooting threes. And that was what was the image that was presented, right? Movement around the basketball, find the open guy. Klay, Steph, didn't matter. Knock down the three, winning games, scoring a ton of points, energy, excitement, a guy that is becoming the new face of the NBA. And then they disappeared. For 2 years. Now, we all kind of knew that there was a possibility that they would come back, but now they've come back roaring, and they don't have Klay Thompson on their team, and they're coming back roaring. And this infatuation that I think the media had with this possibility last night of seeing a game, I think it was a little bit of a selling point. Don't get me wrong. I think it was a little bit of a selling, hey, you know what? If you're thinking about staying up tonight on the East Coast, we got Golden State, Portland. Oh, and you might see 17 three-pointers from Steph Curry, right? It was this belief that, you know what? It actually could happen. It actually could. Because that's what this guy does. He can do this kind of thing. And you never know when he'll explode for 50. So why not 50 plus on a night where he hits 16 three-pointers? Right? That, I think, was the selling point. He doesn't get it. Didn't even come close. He's still got 10. And so he still needs 10 for it. So now you got to expect that the media will do it again in their next game against Philadelphia, which is, will he get 10? Will he get 9 to tie 10? And you might even believe at some point that he could. All right, coming up, who's going to win the Heisman Trophy? We got the finalists. We've got the rules for the Heisman Trophy. So who's going to win it next?
Wow! I feel good. I
I knew that I wouldn't. It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony B and Ron Culver.
All right, we're going back to 1965, the Charlie Brown Christmas special airing for the first time, and then it would just continue to be a holiday staple from that point on. Hey, do those voice actors get residuals, or was that not a thing in the 60s?
Ooh,
like
great
Gilligan's
question.
Island and Bewitched, where those actors were like, darn it, we're not getting rich off this show.
They were probably just tied to the studio, right?
Yeah, I asked this question when I was over Thanksgiving to my sister, who's out in Los Angeles. I'm like, Johnny Galecki from The Big Bang Theory, I'm like, how much money does he make off of Christmas Vacation? Like just playing Rusty.
Yeah.
Like, forget Chevy Chase and you know, oh, God, who's...
Beverly D'Angelo.
Beverly D'Angelo, yeah. Forget those two, right? Forget those two. Those are the big names. Just him playing Rusty. How much does he make just off of that? When his accountant goes, all right, Johnny, Big Bang Theory's bringing in this much, residuals off this or this, some other things you've done, but, yeah, obviously your Christmas Vacation money is here. It's this amount. Because it's on constantly. It's on almost 24 hours a day around the world.
You could probably, if you decided right now and you had all the channels, you could probably find it.
You could probably find it, yeah. Somewhere around the world it's airing. Right? It's all the time, every year. So I always wondered about that. Because, you know, I know, and you probably do too, a couple of people have been in like movies and TV where they show you like every year my $1.12
yep.
that I got for residuals for playing this brief part. I have a friend who was the newscaster in The Departed. He was a guy I interned under in Boston, and he was the newscaster. All he did was just read a news report for the movie. And every now and then he'll say, hey, I got my residual for The Departed, and it's like $1.16 or something like that. He's just kind of having fun with it. But then you start thinking, like, Christmas Vacation. If you played Rusty in Christmas Vacation, it's got to be... I don't even want to guess, because I have no idea how residuals
work. It's got to be at least
$5. Right? Exactly. All right, so who's going to win the Heisman Trophy this weekend? You know what? I don't like to be... but I'm going to admit something here. I hate the Heisman show. I hate it. I don't watch it. Just tell me when you're going to announce the award. I don't care. I don't need a 20-minute segment on these guys. I know what I know about them. I had a whole season with them. I get it. You want to tell me about the, you know, he was, you know, grandmother stepped in or something, or his father had guided him through this, and they ran into some tough times, and his older brother had, I mean, there's always a story. They're fine. But it's so long and drawn out to get to the payoff. And listen, I get it. This is the trend of national media. When I was a kid, you know, they would have like the NBA draft lottery was like a quick thing. Now it's a whole show. The Heisman Trophy was not a quick thing, but it certainly wasn't an hour-long program. And now it is. So they've taken every, you know, these little tiny things, and they've expanded it for television and revenue purposes, which is totally fine. But I'm not a fan. Absolutely not a fan. I'm like, give me a half an hour. Tell me the background. Show me some highlights. Give me some interview with his coaches. His mom is cool. But I don't need these Chris Connolly pieces, right? Or these, you know, whoever. You know the guys on ESPN that do those weepy pieces? Those little documentaries with the sad music? I don't need those. No, no, no. So who's going to win? Who's going to win the Heisman Trophy? Is it going to be Bryce Young at Alabama? Now, Kenny Pinkett of Pittsburgh? C.J. Stroud? Aiden Hutchinson? Who's going to be? These are the finalists. Well, let's go back to Chris Houston, who had a website for a long time called HeismanPundit.com. He now doesn't have that site anymore. In fact, he works for Heisman.com. He was kind of like the go-to Heisman guy for a long time. He specialized in just this award. And he, you know, he would put out his straw poll every week, and I mean, he had a really, really good site. He works for the Heisman Trophy now. It's almost like when like big companies buy up the blog guy that's kind of writing about the industry, and now he works for that company. I always felt like we lost a little bit with Chris Houston going to the actual Heisman, you know, the company, the Heisman.com, because I thought his website was really good. But he had a 10 commandments for the Heisman Trophy. You want to know who wins the Heisman Trophy? Here it is. And a couple of them were really sort of, you know, simplistic. You had to be on a major team, right?
I think every one of us could probably go through FCS football and find the one guy that's tearing through college football, and this running back's got this many yards and all these touchdowns, and this kid plays in this middle of nowhere school in Minnesota, and he's thrown for this many yards and this many touchdowns. They're never going to win the Heisman. They're not going to get your attention. If you don't, that's just the way it is. It's unfortunate, but you got to play at a big time program. And you know what? You got to play in a Power Five program. And that's just the way it's going to be. Two, and this is another one of those unfortunate things, you have to be an offensive player. The Heisman Trophy just doesn't go to defensive guys. Charles Woodson won it as a cornerback in 1997, but he was also special teams, right? Manti Te'o was up for it. Ndamukong Suh was up for it, but nobody got it. And here's the other one. You want to narrow it down even more than that? You have to be a quarterback or a running back. Yeah, Devontae Smith won it as a wide receiver. And that was great. And he beat out Trevor Lawrence last year. He had that kind of season. But you want to know the last wide receiver to win it outside of him? 1991, Desmond Howard. Right? Tim Brown at Notre Dame won it as a wide receiver. And that was back in 1987. And if you go even further back than that, you got to go all the way to 1972. I just named four wide receivers in a 50-year span. Nope, it's running backs. It's running backs and quarterbacks. That's it. So if you don't play either one of those positions, you're going to have an amazing year. Like, again, Devontae Smith last year, where the numbers just were so crazy good that you could not ignore it. And that a player of that caliber with those numbers not winning the Heisman was more of a travesty than giving it to a quarterback or a running back who may have had really good numbers for their position. That's what you have to do. It's unfair, but that's what you have to do. The next defensive player that is going to win the Heisman is going to have to be better than Manti Te'o was at Notre Dame, better than Ndamukong Suh was at Nebraska, better than any defensive player. He's going to have numbers that are insane. That where you go, this can't be right. Like, if you didn't watch much of their games, you'd have to go, that can't be true. He can't have that many sacks or that many interceptions or that, whatever it is. Something that stands out beyond a quarterback or a running back in a given year. That's how narrow this award is. It's too bad, too, because in the end, this is an award that is given to the best college football player. You want the award for the best quarterback? There's a couple of them. You want an award for the best running back? There are a couple of them. You want an award for the best offensive player? There are a few of those, too. College football is littered with these kind of things. But the Heisman Trophy stands out. It goes to the very, very, very best player. And sometimes that best player is a defensive player. But skill, offensive guys, quarterback or running back, that's the best bet who's going to win this. So now it comes down to three guys, right? C.J. Stroud, Kenny Pickett, or Bryce Young. And I think Bryce Young is going to win this award. And if Bryce Young wins this award, it'll be the fourth Alabama player to win it since 2009. And you may go, well, that's cool because Nick Saban got there in 2007. So he's got Mark Ingram in 2009 and Derrick Henry in 2015 and Devontae Smith in 2020. And now possibly Bryce Young in 2021. But what if I told you those were the only four Alabama players in the history of the program to have won the Heisman Trophy? Would you believe it? Because you should, because it's true. The first Alabama Heisman Trophy winner was Mark Ingram in 2009. The award has been given out every year since 1935. It took 64 years before Alabama won the Heisman Trophy. And since that breakthrough, they are on the verge of winning four in the last 12, which is pretty good. And I think Bryce Young is going to win it, even if Kenny Pickett had a really good year at Pitt, really, really good year at Pitt. And Bryce Young, for the most part, had an outstanding season. His completion percentage was good. He doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. But I understand where you may be coming from. Other Alabama quarterbacks had better statistical seasons or at least looked better and didn't win the Heisman Trophy. Now, the numbers are pretty good for Bryce Young. But I think what he did against Georgia is the moment that any sort of trophy, Heisman Trophy voter who is really torn on this, because none of the nominees were had a really strong season that would make you go, something special has to happen for me to vote for somebody else. And I think what he did against Georgia, given Georgia's defensive numbers and reputation and what we were saying about them, sort of stood apart. And again, he fits all the sort of criteria of a Heisman Trophy winner, right? Plays the quarterback position, plays on a conference champion, you know, a Power Five team, a team that is competing for the national championship, but you don't have to. You don't have to compete for the national championship. But you have to have a, you know, you obviously have to do well. You have to be a player that's impacted a good season. And three, you have to have your team, you have to have your team sort of in the national spotlight a bit. You're just, I'm sorry, but if you're hidden away somewhere in the country, it's very, very hard to win the Heisman Trophy. And I think based on how many people were curious, interested, even if they were, I'm a Pac-12 reporter, I'm a Pac-12 person, I spend most of my time watching Cal and UCLA and Stanford and Oregon and whatnot, I'm going to watch Alabama play Georgia in that championship game. And I think if you're a little bit on the fence as to who to go to, I think Young stood out. Who would I like to see win it? I think Kenny Pickett would. I think it would be a great win. I think it would be a great win for Pitt. I think it would be a great win for the ACC. I mean, I feel bad Trevor Lawrence never won this thing, but he didn't. Peyton Manning never won this thing, right? I mean, you look back at some of the great players that we've seen in college football over the years, and some of them didn't win this. Some of them didn't win this trophy. So I mean.
And then the ones who did didn't really, a lot of them didn't really amount to anything.
Right, yeah. Some of them went to the NFL and didn't turn in anything. Exactly. I mean, you look at some of the names that are sort of littered with this award, right? I mean, think about like a Matt Leinart, for example,
yep. Who's,
you know, didn't pan out, didn't quite make it.
Could've
Tim
won it
Tebow
twice.
Couldn't make it. Yeah, Sam Bradford is one of the highest paid NFL players for doing nothing in the history of the league, right? And whatnot. RG3 is not playing anymore. Johnny Manziel never made it, right? Jameis Winston is hurt and is good, but where's Marcus Mariota these days? Where is he still on the Raiders, or did he bounce around to another team? That's where he's going to right now, right? But then you've got, you know, obviously Kyler Murray is great, and Joe Burrow's got upside, and Derrick Henry's played, you know, is so critical to what Tennessee does. You know, Cam Newton is a former MVP. I mean, did Troy Smith make it? No, you know. I remember when Jason White won the award in 2003, and I was doing a show in Colorado in 2004, and Jason White was again up for the award, and I got a call from an Oklahoma fan and wanted to know my thoughts on Jason White winning back-to-back Heismans, and I said he has none. And they're like, well, and he started ripping off some statistics, and I said, I'll tell you why. I said, you want to know why? I'm going to tell you why. And you're not going to want to hear this, but it's true. I said, Archie Griffin was the last two-time Heisman Trophy winner, okay? Now, if you're a voter, and you can say all you want how you're not biased, you can say all you want how you say, I take every single vote individually. But there's no doubt about it that when you are dealing with a guy that could win it twice, you think about that and that particular individual, right? And you say to yourself, and this is no offense to, you know, this is no offense to anybody, including Jason White, who's ever been up for the trophy twice. Tim Tebow was up for it three times, won it once. But you have to ask yourself, am I ready to put this individual in the history of college football as one of the greatest players of all time? Am I ready to give him an award for the second time that only one other person has? Of all the people that have been up for this twice, all this juniors in the past that had played well as a senior, because remember, it was only juniors and seniors that were winning it until Tebow kind of broke through and won it as a sophomore. But for every junior that won it, playing well in their senior year, am I ready to put him above? And I said, the answer to that is no. I said, that's how important. You see this in every voting. You see this in voting for everything. Major League Baseball, MVP, Cy Young, everything. Is the way people say, in what context of history am I about to do with this vote? And I said, and I don't think the voters are ready to put him on that level. So that's how tricky this Heisman Trophy Award can be. It can be. By the way, And for the most part, there weren't a lot of juniors that won it that had good seniors. For the most part, mostly seniors won this thing.
Yeah.
Right? So it wasn't, you know, like Doak Walker won it, I think, as a junior, and that was it. Right? I mean, there was a couple of them, but not very many juniors were winning this thing.
No, it was usually guys on their way out.
Yeah. Roger Staubach won it as a junior. I remember that. All right. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Because now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage, in a mortgage that fits your life, Rocket can. So I already went a little long on that Heisman talk. I get so excited about the Heisman Trophy a little too much. It's one of my favorite awards in all the sports. Simon and Garfunkel, 1965. This is the reason we're doing 1965 Charlie Brown Christmas special, debuted. And you've been watching it ever since. I didn't know this song was that old.
It is surprising when you come across some songs.
Yeah,
and a lot of songs I'm coming across, it's like the original, but we know the remake better.
Yeah, exactly. This is a great song. What a great song.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But yeah, 1965.
That song still holds up
music.
Today.
Yeah, it still does. Yeah. So, who's the... metal band that did just recently
Disturbed.
Did Disturbed, yeah, that's a great version of that.
Yeah,
great version of that.
I don't know if it's better.
I don't know if it's better, but it's. I mean, it's. I like it when you know. I like it when people take their own spin on it. You know, Paul Simon. He really liked their version. Told him that. So that I really liked the way you took that song and redid it. But yeah, you're right. It's unbelievable. We got Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up next in hour two as we continue with Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.